Our scripture today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Father, we come this morning before your throne to praise you, to give you all glory and honor that is due your name. We love you, Father. We praise you that you have loved us and you have saved us from our sin, that now we can approach you with confidence to worship you and to know you. We pray, Father, this morning you would teach us, you would challenge us, you would encourage us in whatever way we need from your word this morning. We pray it will bring you great glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can have a seat. So many of you in this room had a sibling growing up, a brother or a sister. I want you to go back to a time in your life, maybe 8, 10, 12 years old, and think about what your relationship was like with your sibling, your brother or your sister. Maybe some of you are right there right now. Some of you are 8 years old or 10 years old or 12 years old in the room. Maybe you didn't grow up with a sibling, but you had friends that had brothers and sisters. And so you maybe interacted with them or in their home where you saw the brothers and sisters relate to one another. And I wonder, in those situations, what are some words that come to mind to describe either your relationship with your brother and sister or to describe your friend's relationship with their brother or sister? I'm guessing that the words love and brotherly affection and honor may not be the first words that you would choose to describe that relationship. Now, maybe sometimes that was there, but I know for me, if I were to think back to my time with my brother, it would be more words like fighting, and arguing, and unfair. And I get to sit in the front seat this time, not you. Different things like that would describe my relationship with my brother. Again, some of you have great relationships, and you hear Paul say, love one another with brotherly affection. You go, yeah, I understand that. But for a lot of us, it's a little bit of a foreign concept. How do I barely love my own brother like that. And so now we're supposed to love each other? What in the world is that? How do we do that? It's difficult, yet it is clear that this is the mark of the Christian life. One of that we, because of the grace and mercy of God found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are now to love one another with brotherly affection. And we are to outdo one another in showing honor. So I want to remind you the context once again of Romans chapter 12. We'll just read the first 3 verses to remind us of how we got to this place. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. I don't know about you, but I never would have related to my brother not thinking of myself more highly than I ought. It was kind of my whole goal, was to try to match up to him in certain areas. I couldn't do it academically, but I could sure do it in athletics. So that's where I put all my effort. But our context is because of the mercy of God, because God has saved us. Now we, as our act of worship, we present ourselves to God, seeking to live obedient lives to Him, not thinking more highly of ourselves. And today we focus on loving and honoring others. Now, David reminded us last week that all of this, all of these instructions and commands are only possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't just make it happen in our life. Paul says this in Ephesians 5:18 about life in the Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what Paul is not saying is he's not saying that you need more of the Holy Spirit. No, you have, if you are in Christ, the fullness of God in His Spirit dwells in you. You have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God's not holding back on you. What I need and what you need is really less of me. I need to give up control of my life. I need to not let myself or something else control me, but I need to let God, through His Spirit, control and empower me to live the life God has called me to live. You think about the analogy, alcohol, when it's overconsumed, it controls a person. And they act and they speak and they make decisions that they normally wouldn't make. Well, the same is true when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we act and we speak and we make decisions that are not normally us and how we would choose to act. But it's God working through us to produce in us love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control. And the great thing is, when we live in the power of the Spirit, there is never regret. Never regret. So as we get into these passages this week, last week, and following, remember, this is done in the power of the Spirit. It's not just us to work it out in our own ability. So this morning, what we want to do is I want to answer four questions. What are we supposed to do? Really just examine this command. Why? What's the motivation behind us loving and honoring one another? Maybe why do we struggle to love and honor others? And then what are some practical ways we can move forward in this as a body of Christ? So Paul says to love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Love is a somewhat popular word, I would say, in our culture and our society. It gets thrown around and often it gets put in the categories, if we just love one another, then all our problems will go away, right? That's the problem. We just need to love each other. And typically what that means is to love somebody is to let them be. Don't invade their life. Just let them be whoever they want to be, to think however they want to think. As long as they don't mess with anybody else's life, then loving means hands off. That's often the definition of love. There's never any correction, any pushing on towards goodness or good things or holiness or righteousness. But that's not the love we see all throughout the scriptures. Think about the gospel of Jesus Christ here and how much the love that Christ had for us was on display in the cross. That because He loved us, He went to the cross to die on the cross for our sin so that we could be forgiven and then be made new in Him. That He would lead us towards this new life of righteousness and holiness. He did not love us and then leave us. He loved us. He died for us. And then He continues to move us on towards conformity to His image. To look like Him, act like Him, behave like Him. John says it this way, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for a friend. Well, the only reason you would ever need to lay down your life for a friend is if they're in trouble. That act of sacrifice indicates they're in trouble and you're trying to rescue them from that trouble. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. Love is not just to allow someone to stay where they are, but to help them become who God created them to be. Sometimes that's really encouragement, and sometimes that's exhortation, spurring on towards holiness. And Paul says in verse 9 here that love must be genuine or sincere. So think back to that brotherly affection often. Tell your brother you're sorry and tell him you love him. I love you. Right? It's because I had to. No, Paul says our affection for one another, our love for one another must be genuine. So this love, we'll see, it is a choice to be made, but it comes with affection and emotion produced by God himself through his Spirit as we love one another. So he says we should love each other that way, like a healthy family would love one another. But then if that's not enough, Paul turns it up on us and he says that we should show honor. But not just show honor to one another, outdo each other. So we should have a little competition among ourselves. Who can honor others better? I mean, that's really what Paul is trying to tell us. What does it mean to give honor? Honor is to give weight or to grant a person a position of respect or even authority in one's life. Now, in our world, we know that there are people that deserve honor and respect by the position that they hold in life. We know that clearly with the military. When we think of those that have served in the military, we want to give them honor and respect because of the way they have sacrificed their life for our sake so that we could experience freedom. And so we honor them because of that position that they hold. The scriptures tell us in Exodus 10 commandments, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. We are called by God to honor our parents because of the position they hold in our life of authority, that they deserve honor and respect. They should, at least, have that position. And so we're to honor them. Well, here, I think Paul is telling us the reason that we're to honor simply because our brothers and sisters in Christ are part of the family of God. Because of who our brothers and sisters are in Christ, it should lead us to find ways to honor them. And to even outdo them in showing honor to one another. It really is this consistent seeking to find ways to honor and respect those in the body of Christ. See, I think what Paul is saying is all the energy we put into efforts to promote ourselves now is to be put, all that energy is to be put into promoting others. To highlighting others, to showing off how God is using others and the way he's gifted them. Both of these, loving and honoring, are a choice. And this is where it gets hard, because we need to be honest that there are people in our lives that are hard to love. I mean, not us, right? It's somebody else. Never us, right? We're not the hard ones to love, but we really are at times, aren't we? But people are hard to love. They're difficult to love. And so we have a choice to make. Again, think about Jesus, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus's act of love for us was not because we were so lovely or lovable. It's because he chose, even though we were his enemies, even though we were filthy in our sin and rebellion against him, he chose to die in our place out of love so that we would be saved and made right with God. So when Paul tells us to love one another and honor one another, it is a choice to make, even at times when people are unlovable. It's a choice not to just overlook sin in each other, but to love one another, to help each other become who we are in Christ, and to do all of this with brotherly affection. See, we are now, because of what Christ has done, we are now a family. And you don't get to choose your family. And so we're in this together, and we get the opportunity to love and honor each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you struggle with that, well, get used to it, because you're going to be with us forever. We're going to be before the throne together, living together, worshiping God, enjoying fellowship with one another, loving one another. So what a great time to start now, loving and honoring one another, and to do it genuinely. So these are great commands, but really, why? Is this just a feel-good statement? Is this to make Is it just to make us feel good that we care about other people, that we help others look good? Really, what's the reasons why? Well, I think there's three reasons why we should continue to seek out loving others and honoring others in the power of the Spirit. The first is from 1 John. We love because He first loved us. If we are in Christ, then we have experienced the lavish love of the Father through Christ. And because of that, because we are brand new, now we can love genuinely and sincerely and with affection. We can honor because of Christ's love for us. What other reason to love one another? Jesus says it this way in John 13 with this new command that we should love one another because it's a way to show the world that we're His disciples. Our love for one another displays the goodness of the gospel, and it shows the world that Jesus is real and He unites us together in such a way that we can love each other deeply and honor one another, not for our own gain, not for our own benefit primarily, but for the benefit and the gain of others. To count others as even more significant than ourselves. It is a way to show the world the gospel is true and that Christ through His Spirit lives in us. But I think the most important reason why we are to love and honor others is what John writes in 1 John. He says, we know we have come to know Christ because we love our brothers. Loving our brothers and sisters in Christ is evidence that we are in Christ. It's not just this idea that to love and honor makes us good Christians. No, it's evidence that we are Christians. And so if you struggle to love others and to give honor to others, there's a moment for you to examine your own heart in relation to Christ. Because if you truly are in Christ, He will be growing your heart and desire to love and honor others. It's what He does in His children. And so because of that, because we've experienced the love so that the world may know, and it's evidence that we're in Christ, we now can go through the power of the Spirit to love others. And it sounds great and it sounds wonderful, but then we get to real life and we struggle. Why don't I love people like I know I want to or I know I should the way that Christ has loved me? Why don't I seek to honor others, but instead of always trying to promote myself? Why is that? I'm guessing you're thinking that in your own life, maybe. Why is this so hard for me? There's lots of reasons. There's lots of reasons why all of us may struggle to give or even receive love, to honor others or receive that from others. But I know from my own experience in helping others walk with Christ for many years, I've seen a lot of reasons. And there's a few that came to mind. All of these reasons why we struggle to love and honor others are built on the foundation that we need to remember the gospel. That we need to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ and what God has done for us, and then not try to obey His commandments in our own power, but to obey in the power of the Holy Spirit. But one reason maybe that you struggle or some struggle is just because of insecurity. Many of us tend to wonder if we're actually good enough. Do I have what it takes? Am I smart enough? Are people going to like me? Are they going to enjoy me? I just don't have much to offer. And one of the ways that manifests itself is we tend to pull away from other people, which keeps us from being in a relationship to really love others and even to receive love from others. Now, for some, it displays itself in a different way. You know, the most prideful, arrogant, self-centered people are often the most insecure people. The reason they are that way, the reason some of us can struggle that way, is because I'm trying to prove myself to be better than I actually feel. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel good enough. And so I'm going to try to make myself publicly look that way, better than other people, to make up for how I feel. And whenever that happens, it's really hard to love other people and, again, to receive. But if we are in Christ, then we have evidence that we are loved and are worthy. That Christ gave up His life for you, to redeem you, to save you. He's loved you. He forgave you. He justified you. And He has adopted you into His family. You are now a child of God. And He loves you unconditionally. And so if we can remember who we are in Christ, we will be freed up to love and honor others, because we are full with the love of God in our own life. Now, for some, the reason that it's hard to love is that we've loved and we've been hurt. Somebody turned on us, took advantage of us, maybe in really serious ways. And so it is hard to think about once again loving somebody so intimately that would have brotherly affection. And so instead of loving, I just seek to protect. I just want to protect myself from the hurt that could come again. Again, we must look to the gospel to remind ourselves the risk that Jesus took, that He became human and He experienced so much rejection. So much rejection in His life from His own people, from His disciple Judas, but all for the purpose of saving a people for Himself. The reward was worth it. Obedience to the Father and the children of God coming home to be with Him. And so we too, even though we may experience hurt because of what Christ has done for us, we can risk and we can engage and we can love others and honor others. Perhaps we struggle to love and honor others because it's going to cost a lot. It will cost us very much. Looking not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others, takes a lot of effort and time. And I'm guessing that one of our favorite answers, I know it's true in my life, when people say, "How are you doing?" The number one answer I feel like most of us say is busy. Which is not an answer of how I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. I'm just busy. But when I'm so busy, when my agenda is so full, when I'm all about me, then I'm going to have a real hard time giving up my agenda to take the time to love others. Many of us may hear about needs within the fellowship. A simple one is when people need meals because they had a baby or they're sick. You go, "I don't know if I have time to make a meal for them. I'm so busy. I'm so jam-packed in my life. I don't know if I have time to be able to do that." And to walk through life with some people is going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard because of the suffering or the trials that they're going through. And to love them is going to be full of endurance. To steadily walk through them and take lots of time. And it's going to be really hard. It's going to cost us something to love and honor others. And again, we look to Jesus, who gave up His life because He loved us. It cost Him His life so that we too now can give up our rights, our desires, our agendas to love and honor others like He loved us. Finally, maybe there's the comparison game. This is a close cousin to insecurity, but it's the comparison game to see how I match up with others. How do I relate? How's my life looking compared to other people? This is often the root of where gossip comes from. I want to know information about other people that I can tell other people to see what their life is and see mine. Can you see the difference? I affectionately call this the topper game. It's where you want to top other people with a better story. Maybe you don't know if this is your thing, but I want to encourage you to think about a conversation that you've had recently with somebody or that you're going to have later, and examine how quickly within that conversation do you start thinking about what you're going to say next. They're telling this great story of this grand adventure, and maybe in your heart you're thinking, "Oh, just wait till you hear my story. Then you'll know that I have a better story than you." It's the comparison game. I want to show myself better. And that's not love. That's self-protection, self-promotion. It's all about me instead of about them. This happens on social media all the time. As we scour through Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat, and we're just doing it to see how I'm lining up. Did they have a better weekend than me? Well, I need to show, I need to take a better picture to show that I'm doing well and my life is good. There's no way that we're really going to love each other and honor each other if we compare to one another. And we remember again what Jesus has said to us, that if we find our life, if you want to find your life, then you must be willing to give up your life for His sake. In the cross of Jesus, we all come equally in sin, and we all rest in the glory of the gospel equally, that we are loved and forgiven. And we don't need to compare because of who Christ, how He views us, and we are now free to love others well, to seek ways to outdo one another in showing honor. So I think we each need to identify in our lives, why is it hard to live this out? Why is it difficult for me to love and honor others well? When we do, I think the Lord will lead you to find some practical ways to be able to begin to love and honor others. But here's the challenge. There's a lot of us in BCF. There's a lot of us here, and it will be really difficult for us to love each other individually and with affection and honor each other, because it takes intimacy. It takes knowing somebody deeply to be able to know how they receive love well and how God is using them and the ways that you see God displayed in their faith living out to honor them. So it's going to be really hard to do that with one another. And we praise God for that. We praise God that there's so many of us here, and we're trusting God for even more, that we will fill this place with new believers in Jesus. But it's going to make it even harder to love one another that way. And so I think it is really important for all of us, if we're going to live this out, that we need to be connected to smaller groups of people within the context of the fellowship. That we need to get within community groups. We need to get in adult education classes. And we need to go to children's Sunday school classes. We need to be on ministry teams serving alongside of one another so that we can know other people and honestly, genuinely, sincerely love them and honor them because we see what God is doing in their life. We get to know them. And so if you are not connected to a community group, to a class, to some ministry team, let me encourage you to get connected. Get connected to one another, and then you will be able to find ways to live out this command that God gives us. And when you do, start small. Don't, as soon as the service is over, just start telling everybody how great they are. Everybody will know, oh, you're doing it just because we heard a sermon on it. No. Start small. Pray. Ask God to begin to move in your heart, fill you with the Spirit, and show you those people in your life that you can love and honor well. Who are they? God, help me to know. Find ways to serve them and grow your love for them. Our love and our honor is for everyone in the body of Christ. Everyone. But yet we need to be willing to just start small, get to know people here and find ways to love and honor them in the power of the Holy Spirit. All of this reminded me of this friend I had. I met him when he was a freshman in college, and he's been this way ever since I met him as a freshman. The first conversation I ever had with him, I think it was about 30 or 45 minutes, and I left the conversation and I realized I never found out one thing about his life. He was so good at asking questions of me that I never, ever got the chance to find out what was going on in his life. Never. I couldn't do it. He was so good at loving me and honoring me to find out about my life. As a freshman in college, it blew my mind. He's still that way. Married with a child. He's still that way. And so now when I meet him, when I see him or talk to him, I have to tell him, listen, you can't say a word for 10 minutes. You're not allowed to ask me a question for 10 minutes. I honestly have to tell him that. Because if not, he will all of a sudden turn the tables on me, and he's sneaky. And next thing I know, it'll be a half hour, and I go, but I have no idea what's going on in your life. So I have to, like, game on, all right? Competition. I'm going to beat you at this game. I still never do. But I know for me, I have to go into a conversation that way. I have to think, Jeff, this is not about you. This is about the person that God loves, that God has redeemed, that God has adopted, your brother and sister in Christ. Find out about their life. Love them and honor them. Don't make it about you. And it is, it's this challenge. So I would encourage you, the next conversation you have sometime this week, can you wait 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes before you tell your story, before you share your life, and just focus on them. Just seek out ways to love them and honor them. Ask those in your community, in your group of friends, in your Sunday school class. Ask somebody how they best receive love. How can I show you that I love you? What is God doing in your life that I can honor in your life and honor you for? And even be willing to tell those people in your life, this is how I receive love. This is how you can let me know that you love me. It takes some vulnerability and some intimacy to be able to do this, to live this out. But imagine what would be true here if this were the way people would describe BCF. Oh, BCF, that's that group of people that loves each other. And they really seem to mean it. I mean, they're always talking about how great each other are. They just seem to be so honoring and respectful of each other. Imagine what God would do with that. Imagine the joy that we would get, but imagine the way God would use that in the world around us. It's not easy. We are really a diverse people in many ways. We have such different backgrounds. We come from such different cultures and ethnicities. We come with such variety of preferences in our life. We have a varying difference of education levels. We're varying differences of economic status. And yet, in spite of all those differences, because we are in Christ, we can put all of that, those labels aside. And we can genuinely love one another and outdo one another in showing honor. Now, when we do that, it won't save anybody. Being loving and honoring doesn't save somebody. They still need, everyone needs to repent of their sin and come to Christ. And then, and only then, in Christ, are we able to live out this joyous command to love one another with brotherly affection and to outdo one another in showing honor. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you have loved us, that you sent the Lord Jesus to pay for our sin, to give us new life, to adopt us in. And now because we are secure in our relationship with you, we are freed up by the power of your Spirit to love one another and to show them honor. Help us through your Spirit, Father, to do this genuinely and with affection and to seek to outdo one another and showing honor. We trust that you will use that in our midst to show others that we're your disciples and to lead many to faith in Jesus. We pray ultimately, though, it will bring all you the glory. Not us, but you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.